Joker. 35-14 over the Giants.
Talking about the Patriots. Sorry, I had your mic down there. You're talking about the Patriots.
Talking about the Patriots. Yeah, well, you're playing some Sony.
Got a little Sony. Got a new board I'm still working on.
That's
so
all right.
Now we can hear you.
It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. Along with our man, the one, the only, Russ Tanner. Prime Lending and AthensLender.com. The only man who was part of two SEC championships, with one with David Green, one with DJ Shockley.
Good company right there.
What's up, Russ?
Good morning, gentlemen.
That is some good company, isn't it?
You know, it's not bad to be associated with legends. So, yeah. And those two guys are, my friend.
They are indeed. The old lefty and DJ Shockley. I hope Greeny didn't just hear me call him the old lefty.
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Old man's great.
It was O-L-E, not O-L-D. So, you know.
Well, today is Steve Young's birthday,
that's right.
So, you know, it's maybe this kind of a theme.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when Greeny's birthday is, but if we find out, we'll throw him on the...
Are you right or left-handed, Russ?
I am right-handed.
Okay, so I can trust you.
Yeah.
I don't trust left-handed people, but then I went and married one. I'm not sure how that worked out, but something about him, man, you just can't trust him.
I'm lefty. Yeah.
Can't trust him.
Is there, like as far as a center, yeah, exactly. As far as a center goes, do quarterbacks care if you're left-handed or right-handed?
Okay, so there was a period in Georgia football history recently where I struggled to watch because this made me tick. It's when our friend Brandon Cublano was playing center. He is left-handed.
Okay.
Shotgun, he snapped left-handed.
Ooh. Ooh.
Under center, he snapped right-handed.
What?
See, that's something that like the average watcher would have no idea, but I'm sure, like you said,
it freaked me out. I couldn't take it. There was anxiety. Like, what if they audible? What if they come up? What if he gets under center real quick? And I guess it has to do from, you know,
I've never thought about that.
Under center, like the quarterback's hands are a certain way. Ball's got to hit the same spot. So, you know, I've never seen a left-handed center until Cublano, and he snapped in the shotgun left-handed.
Well, he was a pretty good one, thank goodness. So.
He's amphibious.
That's right. He can do things both directions.
He's got webbed feet. It's weird, man.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So no other left-handed or right-handed stuff as far as that goes?
No, I don't know any left-handed centers. Right. Like I'll continue to watch more, but I watch centers most football games that I see, and I don't see left-handed centers.
Just like you don't see left-handed quarterbacks that much.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a thing for that. I don't know.
Tell him you can't trust him, man. Can't trust him.
I concur. What are we going to do about the Dogs being terrible in these games, these football? I'm joking.
No excuse for these first quarters,
yeah,
man. What's going on here?
Tennessee had a lead the other night.
You know, so I'm a member of a friend of the show, so I don't think you can say any of this stuff and be not allowed with y'all, but whatever. You're not going to fire me. You know, so I read, like, the Dog Vent, writing the bullets, seeing those guys,
right.
their website. I was reading it, and – you know, inevitably, there's always a segment of fans that love to and groan,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they wait for something negative to happen just so they can pop out and say, told you. So, you know, we're down to Tennessee early. Tennessee had the juice, man. I mean, the Maurer kid came out hot. We had to adjust what it did. Now, once we adjusted, you know, mm-hmm. made him look very pedestrian at best.
Big time.
So, you know, they're playing well. They're juiced in their stadium. I mean, you know, they've got some good players up there. Not the depth of roster, but they've got some good players. So they're up, and, you know, fans are grumbling. Well, once Georgia got their stuff back together, excuse me, adjusted, started rolling, doing stuff, we thrashed them. So I saw somebody on the message boards coming, you know, some guy was grumbling, and one of the replies was like, man, we're about to beat an SEC East opponent by more than 14 points for the 15th time in a row. Like, you can take your sock and shove it.
And it's an opponent that we, not tradition, that's not the right word, but in years past would go to their stadium and leave very frustrated. So, yeah, these are times that we should embrace and enjoy. And like you said, how many times is it in a row now for a beating an SEC East opponent by more than 14? It's just uncanny right now. I don't know the...
I think it's like 15 or 16.
I'm trying to think back. What was the last time that it was a close game?
It was probably the loss to – it wouldn't be the loss to Vandy back in 16, would it? Would that be the last time?
I'm trying to think.
I'll look right now.
We'll research while we're on it.
But to your point, that there are certainly people that are going to look at anything they can, nitpick.
Three-point win over Kentucky when Eason hit McKenzie on that touchdown pass. That was in 2016.
Two and a half years ago.
Or that was Missouri.
Okay, I'm sorry. Rodrigo kicked the field goal to beat Kentucky. I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah.
But no, back to – people will nitpick. People will look at anything they can negative. But like you said, it's another big win at Tennessee. I'll just – my experience, because I was in the stadium with my wife and some friends. I did not have the phone out. It wasn't even working with that many people. So our experience there was one of – great joy and elation. And then I was a little bit surprised when I got out, opened up the old Twitter machine, and I saw a lot of criticism where I had just watched Kirby and Mary Beth Smart jump into the crowd. I had just watched a clip of Jake Fromm singing Rocky Top as he walked out. If you weren't online, it was a pretty darn good night.
And people need to realize, think what you want to think, but with what Georgia does offensively, with Kirby in charge, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe, you know, maybe he's listening, calling, tell us that we're idiots. But we don't take a lot of risk early. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the philosophy there is we are better from a depth standpoint. We are better at talent. So as the game goes on, it plays in our favor. So we're not going to screw up early. We're not going to do something that puts us in a bad situation that lets them jump out on somebody for something we can't control. You know, Tennessee had one good drive. You know, they found something they liked offensively and moved the ball and went down the field and scored on us. And the next time, our man Richard LeCount just got, burnt toasted.
Love you, Richie, but it's just a toast.
Sometimes you just put a little butter and jelly on it and say, hey, dog, that was toast. That's, you know, football, ain't nothing, man, you can do. So he did. He bit on a double move, and a guy was wide open behind him. You know, that has nothing to do with the coaches. That's a guy, you know, gambling a little bit and getting beat.
Richie got the last laugh with his big hit and his interception, though.
Yeah, so, Tennessee had one good drive to where they found something they liked, and, you know, you got Chaney up there. I mean, we didn't love Coach Chaney's offensive coordinator here, but he knows what we do, and he probably had a decent idea of how to stop it. You know, going into that game, Kirby and his staff are like, well, you know, he's probably going to do this or this, and, you know, they found something that worked early. Then we adjusted, and we shut them down the rest of the game on defense. They literally didn't move the ball anymore. They had a big play. So,
third quarter, 11 plays for 15 yards.
That is very good.
That is getting it done.
Then we beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever, man.
But it was a good night. Georgia was having to get ready for this game, and there's Garantano.
There you go. Good job.
There's the new guy, Maurer. And then you got the word late in the week that even Juwan Jennings was taking snaps.
Juwan Jennings, by the way, y'all remember in the NBA, y'all remember Reuben Patterson? So his nickname was the Kobe Stopper. Like, he wasn't good at anything other than guarding Kobe Bryant, right?
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, nobody knew that guy.
Right.
Juwan Jennings is like
the Georgia killer.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, what are they called? He's like part of the animal control or something. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, he just rounds us up and kills us. You know,
Knox County Animal Control. It's funny because I didn't realize how – the guy's got to be 30 years old.
Got to be.
Now.
Yeah.
I was going through Facebook reminded me of 2015. Now, this would have been, what, five seasons ago, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 – and I'm looking at some pictures I was taking on the sideline there, and there's Juwan Jennings right in the middle. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He was still there then. I put a tweet out.
So he was redshirted.
Yeah, he was. Well, I think he left the program and came back.
Oh, is that what it was?
I think Pruitt brought him back for whatever reason. But I made the point, or I tweeted something at the end of the game where, in all due respect, I was like, I'm really glad this is the final time the Georgia Bulldogs will face Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, he's killed us.
But, you know, it's funny. I mean, we're talking about a guy killing the Dogs in the last two. I mean, I know he caught the Hail Mary there. But, I mean, it's like for the last 3 years, Georgia's won 41-0. What was it last year? 38-12.
Jake Fromm.
And 43-14.
Jake Fromm has beaten Tennessee a combined score 122-26.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where the program's become. Yeah. We're talking about a guy. He's a Georgia killer. It's like, really? I think they've outscored him by 100 points since he's been there.
Now, Juwan Jennings did have seven catches for $114.
Yeah, I know. He had a great game. And, and a touchdown.
What? Also, this goes back to, and yes, Richard the Count got burnt that one time, but we have to remember Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings, they're going to be getting paychecks this time next year to be playing football.
Oh, yeah, they definitely will.
Absolutely. So it's not like Tennessee just had it was not a cupcake that we all sort of had this mindset going into Knoxville, like, oh, we're going to run all over them. They got athletes on that field. There's no doubt about that. They're just a little bit unorganized, if you would.
You know, I mean, I think, though, however, I think we need to jump on the bandwagon with a segment of our fans and just go ahead and just confirm that Jake Fromm is trash. He had five incompletions in that
game.
What
an embarrassment, man. In Knoxville.
He was 24 of 29. Are you kidding me? He missed five passes for 288 yards and two touchdowns, and he didn't get sacked or throw an interception.
What a
Jay,
game.
You gotta pick it up. By the way, don't cut that sound out saying Jake Promise trash because he's the man.
I got proof that Russ Tanner said.
But in the when you guys are going over stuff on, you know, what is it, Sunday or Monday, whenever you're looking at stuff?
Yeah.
How much is attention spent to the 24 completions and how much attention spent to the 5 incompletions?
Incompletions are a lot of times a very good thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know,
do you learn more as much from those as you do from what you did right?
I mean, you can.
Yeah.
You know, you look at what the Gators have done this year, and the reason Trask has seemed to be a better person, like Felipe Franks, when he got in trouble, man, he just chunked that tater. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to throw it somewhere. And that gets picked or knocked down more often than not. So, you know, if it's not there, man, live to fight another day. Throw the ball out of bounds. You know, it's a small mistake to stay away from a catastrophe.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not always a bad thing. So, yeah.
And since I brought this up, tell everybody, so when the team gets back in the middle of the night like they did against Tennessee,
yep.
Like what, all right, say, pretend you're Jake Front, or, you know, pretend you're one of the quarterbacks or whatever. Yeah. What's he, you know, he's doing on Sunday and Monday? Like, if, you know.
I thought you were about to say Saturday night. Like, we're not
we'll leave that one out there. Whoa. No, yes.
Who was it that said it's great to be a Georgia Bulldog on Saturday night?
A lot of people have said that, yes.
Yeah.
But what are the
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, what are the players doing before they hit the practice field again? Like, what's it like for, you know, maybe the quarterback to get ready?
Well, it's a little different now than it was These guys, you know, I think they're back up at the football facility on Sunday.
Yep.
I mean, they're going to watch film from that. They're usually going to give a little workout in. I mean, that for us now normal people, we don't get it. Like, my body hurts. What are you going to do? I'm going to work out.
Exactly.
I mean, we're always like, man, that's Sunday afternoon nap. Because when the preacher gets done, I'm going to start snoring. I'm going to get me a nap. And that's not really, you know, those guys are getting their bodies ready. So they're going back up there. They just get a little light workout in, you know, work out some of the lactic acid and all that. And watch a little film and, you know, start getting a leg up on the week. Because preparation, man. And Jake, the reason Jake Fromm is good, like, he's not the biggest, tallest, strongest arm guy in the world, but he's very well prepared, and there is no doubt he knows what to do with the football when it's coming. So I just looked at the stats while we were talking. I think 8 guys caught a pass last week.
Yeah.
On 24 completions. I mean, that's, you know, he finds his guys, he gets them involved, and that has to do with the standpoint, like Sunday, you're preparing on Sunday. You know, you get a little bit of downtime, a little bit of rest, but you are up there at the football field facility watching film or whatever it may be.
So how much are you going over from the game before as opposed to starting to look at the next opponent? Just depends.
Yeah, I mean, it happens both times.
Yeah.
You know, like when we used to do it, we would watch, you know, with Coach Calloway, you know, meetings would start for us at 2:30. So you had to be there at 2:25.
Or you're late. Yeah.
And, you know, we would watch the game. Usually Monday's more of a long film day, shorter practice, long film day. So you'd watch the game. Because you got to correct your mistakes. A lot of times, right. You know, you don't know what you're screwing up till you see it. And that old saying, you know, the eye in the sky will never lie. Like, you know, you're a lot better, a lot better. But a lot of times you really think, I was all right. And then, no. So,
but I'm sure there were some days you went in there knowing this is going to be ugly.
Look, you could always tell when something was coming up because, like, somebody had to go to the bathroom. Like, if you got smoked on something or you got put on your butt or just missed an assignment, like, inevitably, you know, hey, Coach, I need to take a little quick break.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they probably didn't remember exactly when it was, but you know. Like, you're coming out third quarter. Oh, yeah. Chad Lavallee.
I need to go to the little boys' room. Yeah.
And it was always bad because every now and then, if it was real bad, like embarrassing, like you did something really bad and you're going to get roasted, like they'll pause and wait for you to come back.
Good. They should.
That play against UAB.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, like out of that Florida-Auburn game, which I was pulling for Auburn, I wanted them to win. And now, since they lost, it might not be as much, but like Derek Brown is going to get roasted by his boys for that interception.
For the sniper?
I mean, the 45-yard line got him, you know.
I mean, how does that happen?
Big boys get top heavy, man. Like, you know, you get that train rolling, and it's hard to change directions on it. So yeah, I mean, that film sessions, watching film is rarely fun with your coaches. You know, it's just not. Because even if you do good, they're going to find where you messed up, and it's going to be pointed out. And sometimes it's going to be pointed out like 7 or 8 times. It was always bad. Like Callow would point the red little laser pointer at the screen. And the worst was he would just watch a play, rewind it. Watch a play, rewind it. Watch a play, rewind it. And not say a word. Like you're just sitting there watching it.
Oh, my gosh.
Let me ask this. I've seen it a couple different places. Dave and I have talked about it. Some Tennessee fans here and there. This goes back to the pocket of like message boards that you just kind of talked about a minute ago. They took exception to Kirby Smart dialing up that corner blitz where Eric Stoats lit up old boy. Tay Crowder rumbles and stumbles for that touchdown. As a player, when you're up and it's late in the game and you know you're going to win this game, you guys don't put your foot off the gas, do you?
No.
You're out there trying to make highlights. You know, against, I mean, this is what you do. Yeah.
I don't know about trying to make highlights, right. But, you know, I mean, not against Tennessee.
Exactly. That's another point is that this is the Tennessee Volunteers in Neyland Stadium. Crush their face as
Munson would say. If they don't want us to do stuff like that, man, play better.
Exactly. If he hadn't been dropping back to pass, he wouldn't have gotten sacked.
They could take a knee.
Exactly.
They can hand the ball off.
Exactly.
And Eric Stoats went, boom!
I've got to go back
and look at that particular that post on that message board. And I will say this, because this gets lost. There were a ton of replies to that from Tennessee fans, and most of them were saying, hey, if we don't want to get sacked, we don't need to be passing. I mean, most of their fans were
the guy that tweeted out Georgia shouldn't have done that also sent a tweet to the Braves that don't hand out foam tomahawks.
Because
we can't chop anymore.
Right.
Like, man, what kind of – man, get your pansy self out of the sports message boards and go somewhere else.
What a play, though, man. I didn't know Eric Stoats could hit – who said it this week? I think it was J.R. Reed, the hit stick.
Yeah.
I didn't know Eric Stoats had a hit stick like that.
Well, Eric Stoats ain't big as a minute, right?
No.
But here's the thing. I'm about to give y'all a science lesson.
Love it.
All right. So this probably can go well. So if anybody out there knows real science, like, you might as well quit listening. But, you know, what is it? What is force? I think force is mass times velocity. You know, so
we'll go with it.
So how hard you hit somebody, how much – there's two factors, right? How big you are and how fast you're moving.
Yep.
So if a big boy – if Derek Brown hits you, he ain't got to be running that fast to lay the wood. You know?
You're right.
If a little bitty guy – hits you, he's got to be humming. And son, Eric Stoats was humming. He ain't big, but he had a 20-yard head start and was getting it. And, I mean, it was the perfect hit. In the football world we now live in, it was the perfect hit. And the way you know it's the perfect hit is poor Brian Maurer. Was it Maurer hit?
Yeah, it was Maurer.
Watch his head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, welcome to the SEC, Maurer. I know you're a freshman, but, no, it was one of those just – I can only imagine what was going through Stoats' head. When he knows he's about to get the cleanest hit he'll ever get on a unsuspecting quarterback,
that's
what made it even better. And there was no eye contact.
It wasn't a dirty hit.
Hats off to Eric Stoats for not getting too excited, because that could have been
for not using his hat
penalty.
Hats off for not using
his hat. Hats off for not using your hat.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good moment.
No, he smoked him. It was beautiful.
Now, I'm surprised the ref didn't get called for targeting at the end of that thing. As much as they were calling just – ticky-tacky fouls at the end of that game.
Well, you know, the ref hit the ground. And the initial hit where the guy hit him was not that bad, but then he got pile-drived.
Yeah, like I don't mean to make light of it. I hope he's okay. And I haven't heard. I've not seen any report on Maurer, but you saw when he went to the sideline and kind of laid down.
No, he's starting.
He was out. Is he? Okay, that's good to hear.
Yeah,
because there was a chance he wasn't.
According to the Vols.
And by the way, good job, Russ. Force equals mass times acceleration, which is speed, like you said. So get it.
We ain't a bunch of dummies in Johnson County High School.
What did you – I don't know if you knew much about it, that Will Friend apparently was getting into it with his offensive lineman on the sideline too. TV really didn't even show that.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Pruitt, he was asked about it and he addressed it and basically I think just said, you know.
It's a frustrating night.
It's part of football. I mean, you've seen stuff like that happen, too. I mean,
is
that always a bad thing? Or just,
I mean, it's not good.
It's not good, but I mean, look, some people will say, I love the intensity and that kind of thing.
I mean, coaches are going to challenge you, man.
I mean,
you know, any good coach challenges his guys.
Yeah.
You know, and in the heat of the moment, I mean, Will Friend's a great dude. I mean, he was a grad assistant when I was here. And he's a great dude, but he's got fire in his belly. You know, if you come off the sideline as an offensive lineman and you just got your quarterback destroyed and your coach says, oh, you know what, we're going to try so much harder next time.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't going to battle with a guy like that, man. You need somebody that's full of little and vinegar.
His job is not to be their friend. No pun intended.
Nah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't see, as long as he didn't throw a punch or something.
No, I don't think they were just getting into it.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, happens. Did you ever get in a fight with any of your teammates on the sideline?
On the sideline?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just in practice?
Yeah. We fought in practice all the time.
Well, I mean, that's normal.
Coach Rick had to ban.
You and Pollock got into it, didn't you?
We never threw punches.
Oh, he and Dan Inman were
all the time. They actually had the band fighting at practice. So we used to fight literally every day. And it got to the point some guys just wouldn't want to practice. They would start fighting. And the film guys at practice would always video the fights.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I remember our freshman year, Kurt McGill demolished David Pollock. Like Pollock will tell you. Like he was at defensive end. He tried to run like a stunt where he looped around to the A-gap. And when he came looping, Kurt caught him. I mean, yeah. Absolutely destroyed him. Pollock will tell you he's probably the hardest he's ever been hit.
Wow.
And when he got him, like, cleaned his clock, and Kurt took off and hit somebody else. So Pollock jumps up, and he's ticked. He didn't know who hit him. So he starts looking around for Kurt, couldn't find Kurt. So he picked Ajax, Alex Jackson, ooh, who weighed like 300 and
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
And Pollock took the cheapest shot you've ever seen on him. So Ajax is running down the field. Pollock went and hits him right between the 7 and the 9 on the back of his jersey. Helmet dead in the middle of his back.
Oh, my God.
And just cleaned his clock. Put him down. So when that happened, then somebody came, took a cheap shot on Pollock. Then that somebody hit that person. By the end, it's a Royal Rumble. I mean, it's offense versus defense. And I remember, like George Foster grabbed a guy by the leg, pulled him out of the pile, and dropped the atomic elbow on him.
You named a lot of guys I don't want to be mad at me, but you lost me at George Foster. That's when I'm going back in the locker room. I'm done, man.
Big Foss is bad. Woo. So, you know, we had stuff like that. And then it evolved into Coach Rick said only the two guys that would start the fight could be in the fight. So one-on-one fighting was okay.
You got ground rules now.
So
for
Callaway told us, however, as offensive lineman, first time I see one of y'all big dumb in there fighting and the rest of y'all big dumb don't jump in there. I don't care how much Coach Rick tells you he's going to run you. I'm going to run you three times out. So, like, the next day at practice, Big Dan and Pollock fought every day. I mean, literally every day. So, they get in a fight, and, like, you see the offensive lineman, like, we're tired, man. Like, we are fat. We don't have the energy to fight. So, we start walking off the field, and you hear it. You know the sound of a fight.
Yeah.
And you see it on film because, again, the guys videoed every fight we ever had. And you see us on film. We're all walking off. And like in unison, like all five offensive line, well, four because the Big Dan was fighting, turned our heads around, saw him fighting. We all dropped our heads in disgust, buckled our chin straps up, and then take off into the pile. You know, so you just start rumbling. I remember, yeah. And we had one I won't ever forget. More name drops for you.
Ken Veal,
Big Pooh. He hit me in the side, and Big Pooh hit me and had me on the ground. Big Pooh weighs 330 pounds, and he's got me on the ground, straddled me because I'd hit Ray Gant in the back. And he just had me by the face mask, just slugging me. I mean, just dropping haymakers, but on my helmet. And he's sitting there punching me. I was like, Pooh, Pooh, Pooh. And finally he stopped punching me. He's like, what? I was like, man, why are you punching me? He's like, I don't know.
I don't know.
So
I just
like,
am.
But he's like, man, it's inside drill. Let's keep fighting for like another 30 seconds so we get out of this drill.
So I'm enthralled by everything you're saying. It's awesome. But when game day rolls around and it's other helmets,
yeah,
you just – it's instinctively that you're not going to have that same mentality to get ticky-tack penalties against the other team. I assume. I mean, it's –
yeah. I mean, you try not to.
Right.
You know, I watched the, you know, talk about like in-game fights back to Tennessee stuff, you know, back to the 0-3 game, which we love to watch. You know, that was one where they threw our man Derek Brown out of the game. And it was a junk fight. I mean, he didn't really do anything. Watch it back on it, but like his helmet came off or something. And that's one I won't forget. Again, Big Dan. He starts trying to take off on the field to fight. And, man, I grabbed him around the waist because if you get past the numbers, you get kicked out of the game. And, I mean, it was like I was riding behind a sled dog. Like, he was just pulling me. I had my feet in that Tennessee turf. So, you know, yeah, you're very careful not to be provoked in a game against stuff like that, you know, because it's negative impact. So, you know, every now and then guys jaw so much to where somebody's going to get slapped, but it's pretty rare.
That is an awesome last 10 minutes of stuff.
This is right? Why we have
that's fantastic. I love that stuff.
That's why he's
absolutely
here.
Love it. And to hear all these names. I know you've talked about Pollock and Inman before.
Yeah.
So I hadn't heard the Kurt McGill one, though. See, that's a good one,
and
too.
And that wasn't anything dirty. I mean, and again, that ain't a knock on Pollock. I mean, he was doing what he wanted to. Kurt just caught him. So.
And you haven't told anything different that probably doesn't happen at every other team's practices.
Everybody fights.
Yeah, I was going to say. There's nothing.
I mean, if you're not fighting at practice, you're not competing.
Yeah.
So now, you know, the coaches are smart enough now to where let's not get anybody hurt. We had a guy get hurt. So that's why they banned fighting, but
except for the guys that started.
It still happens. It still happens.
Well, it's like in hockey, you know, they don't break it up until somebody falls down or they jump on them.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something like that in practice.
Yeah, you can't
too.
Take your helmet off and swing it.
Yeah, they don't like that.
No.
Oh, okay. Things we learn. All right, Russ Tanner here in the studio with us from Prime Lending. You can find Russ at athenslender.com when he's not hanging out here in the studio with us. It's 8:31.
Catch Brandon Adams and Dog Nation Daily, weekdays noon to 1 on Athens' Voice of the Dogs, 960 The Ref.
And happy Friday morning. Good morning to you and everybody else. The morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, Logan, Dave, and Russ Tanner. Which is the only reason I think people listen on Fridays in football season between 8 and 9. Glad to have you in here, Russ. Another Bulldog Friday. Noon kickoff tomorrow. So I got to ask you, Russ, if as a player, if they came to you and said, Russ, you get to pick the kickoff time this week between the hedges, what are you going with?
Oh, not noon.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd fans,
not,
players.
Yeah, not for a big game.
Now, Kirby advocated for the noon kickoff a couple weeks ago, citing recruiting and all that. I get all that.
Yeah.
But from a player standpoint, like, when do you want to
play? Let's
make
it lemonade out of lemons. you know, I mean, it's hard for me to beat that 3:30 game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, sets up well. Your morning goes like you want it to. You can be home at night to watch other football games. Yeah. You know, spend a little time with the family, still have time to enjoy the scenery in Athens afterwards.
It's good to be a Bulldog on a Saturday night.
So, you know, those noon games are fine against, like, your Murray States, Arkansas States of the world, because it gives you the whole afternoon. But, you know, I like the 3:30 games, man. 3:30, 4 o'clock, whenever they would kick them off. ESPN will give you the 4 every now and then.
Especially now when you start in sunlight and you finish at night.
I mean,
it feels like you're getting both.
I mean, the best part about the noon games is you can be back to watch football. And all these guys, I mean, this is going to be breaking news. All these guys really like football.
Really?
So most of the coaches and the college football players watch football when they have a chance to, because you want to see the other guys play and stuff too. So, you know, the night games are the funnest for big games, but it just ruins the rest of your day.
I'm with you. I hear you.
If the Kentucky game does end up being a 6 o'clock kickoff, I mean, that's not bad. You know, it's not
that's in Kentucky,
late.
Though, isn't it? Or is it home?
That's here next week.
Okay. That's homecoming.
Yeah.
The 19th.
Yeah. So next Saturday.
Yeah.
So if it does have to be an evening kickoff, I'll take 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. But I'm like you. I like the 3:30s the best. I think you get everything.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't care.
Just tell me when.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you can't control.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You can only control so much stuff, and so many people dictate what you're going to do. Whatever. That ain't something we're going to lose any sleep over.
So what on the day of the Notre Dame game when you're kicking off so late, Georgia's at home, what were they doing all day long?
Man, just sitting around.
Really?
I mean, a lot of nothing. You know, they may get them to try to move around some or, you know, get some kind of walkthrough going. But there's usually an optional breakfast, you know, 7, 8 o'clock. If you want to get up and come, you can. Mandatory breakfast will be about 9:30. Have another meal, lunch, you know, pregame
I'm
meal.
I'm hearing a lot of eating.
4 hours before the game.
Yeah.
And then, you know. For a 7, what time was that game? Was it 7:30?
It was 8.
8 o'clock.
After, a little
so,
after
know,
8.
By about, you know, about 3 o'clock or so, they're probably starting to head over towards the, you know, towards the facility to get ready. But, you know, you watch college game day.
Yeah.
Catch some of the early kickoff stuff. You know, try not to be a complete potato.
Is it harder to be on the road? Like, would Notre Dame probably had a long day, too? That's the thing, too. It's like both teams have a long day. It's not like one has one.
Well, it was dumb for us, man. Like, when we played, we went to Lake Lanier for home games.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's one of the first things Kirby stopped doing was put them up in the Georgia Hotel, I think, the Georgia Center. Is that where they stay now?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Why not?
And they wanted to get us away from distractions. Man, driving to Emerald Point, beautiful facility, great place.
That's a long way.
That's an hour.
Yeah.
You know, having to get on the bus. So.
You're a road team for a home game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, whatever. It was a lot of eating.
as the theme of the – is that your memoir title for your office?
It was a lot of
eating. A lot of eating.
Yeah.
By Russ Tanner.
A lot of eating. So, you know, a lot of life.
Forward by David Pollock.
There you go.
Russ, have you had a chance to look at South Carolina much?
I mean, I've seen them play a little, you know, not enough to have any strong opinions
like
one or the other.
Hot takes.
Yeah, no hot takes. You know, you look at them, though. I mean, the quarterback they got now, Helinski's
name? Yeah,
He's an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jake Bentley was a guy when he came out a couple of years ago. You saw him, he's going to be a guy. He never progressed.
Right.
Like, he just never seemed to get any better. You know, Helinski has a much higher upside for them, which is good for them. you know, but I mean, they're going to play. We know what Muschamp's going to do. We know how they're going to try to play good defense. They're going to try to run a balanced attack. They know they can't throw the ball 45 times and beat us.
Right.
The only way they can beat us is to have a balanced attack and put us on our heels and make us guess and make it where we can't dictate the flow of the game with how we attack from a defensive standpoint.
Sure.
So, you know.
Well, let's see. 2 weeks ago against Kentucky, they won 24-7. Dowdle and Feaster both ran for over 100 yards. The week before, when they looked terrible at Missouri, team rushing total was 16 yards. I mean, it tells you right there. Yeah.
I mean, that's how they're going to win or lose. Yeah. You know, so we'll see. What's their record? Are they 2-3 or something?
2-3, and I believe 1-2 in the conference.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're, you know, they're
struggling.
And
they got a tough schedule, too.
And it's hard to know why South Carolina can't be better. But they can't, apparently. So, you know, we need to take care of business. I mean, like, all to jump on our with our negative Nancy fans, like, you know, I want to jump out early, you know, and make it clear from the get-go that we better than y'all is.
Well, Kirby has talked about this week specifically about becoming more explosive on the offense. I think he wants, what, 1 out of every 8 plays, I think, to go for 10 yards or more. Is that what he's considering explosive? I'm not sure. But has Georgia, in your opinion, maybe you just flat out know, are we still hiding things at this point? Is there a lot that we have not shown that we're holding on to for, say, Florida or Auburn or whatever? At this point, are we out there full throttle?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, now they still got plenty of stuff they haven't done, but that's because, you know, situations, what other teams do, dictate that. I mean, people want a trick play, right? We want to run the annexation of Puerto Rico.
That's what I'm talking about.
The double reverse pass, the Philly special.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, those things are in the playbook somewhere. You know, our team last week, man, we put in a play called Sneaky Snake. Did we break it out in the game? We did, but they caught a penalty, so it didn't get to run.
Well, you talked about Sneaky Snake here, so did the opposing coach know it was coming? Maybe.
No.
Okay, good.
It didn't matter, though. We got throttled. So, I mean, they've got those plays, you know. They've got those plays in there, but, I mean, if you don't need to use them, you don't use them. So, I don't think we're holding anything back because every game – like, here's the deal, man. Like, every game Georgia plays is important. Mm-hmm. With right now, like, you think people are going to lose for the end of the season, but right now – they're still, what, 7 or 8 undefeated teams to have a legit shot at being in the playoffs? Like, right now, you can't lose a football game.
Yeah.
If you lose a football game right now, your destiny sits in somebody else's hands. You're going to be watching games in November saying, man, I hope Michigan can quit being terrible and beat Ohio State. You know, I hope Wisconsin, you know, rolls, but they got Penn State. Oh, we need Penn State to beat them. You know, so, I mean, you're going to have stuff like that happen if you don't win out. So, every game Georgia plays is vital, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it just – there's no room for error right now.
I think Tyler Simmons said it best on Bulldogs Live last night that in the SEC schedule, it's not always the best team that wins. It's just the team that plays the best on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, you never know what that's going to be.
And the thing now, too, though, is it's like – it's not just winning, but you got to, like, win by a bunch. You know, it's the eyeball test for the committee or for whatever. And like the AP poll, again, I know it doesn't have anything to do with who's going to get in the playoff, but Georgia has I don't know if they've slipped or if Ohio State's come up, but however you want to look at it, but all of a sudden we're now not the number 3 team, but we're tied for third.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, no, I know. Right now it doesn't matter.
As long as you stay in the top 5 or 6, you're going to have your chance, right? Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't think we can afford to lose because if you lose, you're going to drop.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and it's funny, man, in the world we live in where the whole Twitter mob kind of dictates national feeling. If you're not on Twitter, that's where the discussion gets rolling kind of around those things. And like right now, like, tell me a conference that the Twitter world doesn't think is trash.
Oh, nobody's played anybody at this point, Russ. You know that. Just ask Twitter.
Other than the SEC West,
nobody's played
everybody
anybody.
Else is trash.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, the ACC is trash.
Well, yeah.
You know. But, I mean, you look at
facts,
like
facts, man.
Pac-12, oh, they're trash. Big Ten, oh, they're trash.
Terrible.
SEC,
one good team.
Oh, they're trash.
Yeah.
ACC, oh, they're trash. You know.
Georgia ain't played nobody.
Yeah. I mean, who has played anybody other than, you know, a Texas A&M?
they played folks.
Give them boys credit, man. Like, they got a run. They got a tough schedule.
South Carolina, too, eventually. They're going to pan out the same way.
So, but, you know, I mean, just win right now, man. Like,
And if
you end up winning, the good news is, as much as Georgia fans love the hand-wringing for Tennessee was beating us in the second quarter, we beat them 43-14 or whatever the score was exactly. Yeah, 43-14.
There's not many 29-point victories in the history book in Knoxville.
No.
Not at all.
You know what's funny, too, because Sunday I ran into one of my neighbors and we were talking. He's like, man, After, what did you think about that first terrible first half? And it hit me. I was like, let's see. Well, Georgia was up 26-14 at halftime.
Yeah.
And that's what we've gotten to now. It's like,
yeah,
that was a terrible first half at a 12-point lead, like Logan said. Went by 29 points.
It's a great day.
On the
a
road.
Great day.
Marquez Callaway caught a 73-yard touchdown pass.
Here, I was in a group of six. One of them was a Tennessee fan, a diehard. I mean, she's a very loud Tennessee fan, and you would have thought, Russ, they would just won the Super Bowl. You would have thought that Super Bowl trophy was theirs when that play happened, to the point where I had to like move up a row. I was a little bit tired of hearing her in my ear, but they were happy. The Neyland Stadium came to life, and this kind of plays into tomorrow. What I expect Coach Boom in South Carolina to do is kind of come out swinging, because anything you can do to give your team hope, give your team a feeling that there's a chance. And I think Tennessee had that for a quarter and a half.
They did. They thought for a second, whoa, hey, we can play. We can do this. Well, they couldn't. We adjusted and beat the brakes off of them.
Which I expect something similar tomorrow. I really do.
You know, but it doesn't mean that the other team's scared of Georgia or scared of Alabama. They want to play. Don't you? You know, to an extent.
I mean, I guess. Sometimes, this is not going to be good. But, But that loser mentality, when a team is struggling like Tennessee has, you still have a loser mentality. So you go and you pitch them, we got this. You know, it's like that old Saturday Night Live skit, you know, I'm good, I'm special, and doggone it, people like me.
You know, Stuart Smalley.
Yeah, you talk yourself up into that, but then as soon as something comes in, it's like, hey, you ugly. You're like, no, I'm not. You know, and you're kind of broken. So it's kind of the same thing. Like, these guys tell us, we can play with them, we got it. We're at home, we can get it going. We've been a couple of plays away from being 3-2, 4-1, and then something goes your way, like, see, told you. Then all of a sudden, you know, you've hit the champ a few times, and the champ throws a right hook and puts you on your back, and you're like, uh-oh.
Like, nah, that wasn't good.
Back to what you were saying, just win. I mean, I've been preaching that for a while, because I, too, have a neighbor like Dave that just finds the negative in everything, and I love him to death, but he's just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Win every game. Win it by 3 points. Now, the thought of beating South Carolina, Kentucky, Tech all by three is a very scary thought. But if that were to happen and you beat Alabama or LSU three, you're in the playoff. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so style points, I think, is sort of if it matters in the polls. It mattered a lot in the BCS era when there were only two teams. But Georgia put itself in a position now, just win the game, period. Yep. That's it.
But what are the scores for the game?
Exactly.
At the end of the year, when it comes to November 30th or whenever it is people are voting on some of those final polls, or after the SEC championship game, they're going to look back, all right, Tennessee 43-14, got that one. This game, all right, 42-10, got that one. Yeah, even if we felt like it was close, like, we beat them 43-14 in Knoxville.
I doubt the committee is going to take a deep dive into Georgia-Tennessee and be, hey, they were up 14-10. That's just not going to happen. So whatever, just win.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap things up with Russ Tanner here in the studio. It's 8:48.
The Ref.
All right, it's 8:52. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. This is always the time where we take a quick trip around the SEC. It's brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. It's also interesting that we talk about the SEC a lot. We love talking about the SEC, and we also love Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. We love our man Russ Tanner, Prime Lending, and AthensLender.com. So you can find Russ online at AthensLender.com. So since we're speaking of the SEC, Russ, in all your wisdom, tell us how the game tomorrow, the SEC home opener for the Dogs, is going to go.
It's probably going to go a lot like the Tennessee game, hopefully without them busting us for a 73-yard pass. I mean, you'll see South Carolina do a few things. You'll see them move the ball a little bit and probably have a little bit of success. But ultimately, you expect the same thing that Kirby and staff have always done, to be well-prepared, to have your better players in good position, and to be able to physically dominate the football game. Jake Fromm's not going to make a lot of mistakes. That's just not the way the cat's wired. I mean, that doesn't mean he won't throw a pick here or there. But he's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He's going to get the guys the ball. You know, I'll make this call. Lawrence Cage is going to catch a back shoulder pass. You know, so I think it's going to go the same way. And as long as, you know, Georgia is a second-half team, man. Like, if it's close at halftime, the talent, the strength, the depth, it wears people down, and they cannot stay in front of it. So, you know, I expect it to be a lot like the Tennessee game, hopefully without us being down in the start of the second quarter.
I like it.
There you go. One quick side note, Stevie T had asked a quick question, and I'd asked you this during the break about being an offensive lineman in this day and age. What's the difference between a collegiate offensive lineman versus an NFL offensive lineman? And we're not talking about size, but we're talking about what you have to do and what you have to know.
Well, it's according to what scheme the offense is in college run. Like, if you run a Mickey Mouse offense like Auburn does, then, you know, those guys just, like, block left. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so some of that stuff is different. But, like, pro-style stuff, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, I mean, those guys run a lot of the same concepts, just as how they operate, what they do. You know, the thing in the NFL that's always crazy is the ability of the quarterback to audible and how quickly you would have to do it. Like, in my little half a cup of tea, I didn't even have a half a cup of tea. Like, they started warming my cup of tea up, then I got cut. But with the Colts, like, they would literally call two plays in the huddle. And there was a code word that just meant apple. If he said apple, apple meant alternate play. So you would have first play call, call it, you know, 24 power, run and play. Then the other may be, you know, whatever, pass 44 Z curl. So he's like, you know, 24, apple, pass 44. So he gets like, blue 42, set, apple, apple. They say that, and the whole play changes right then. You've got about 0.3 seconds to change your blocking scheme, figure out who you got, and go. Because it would be blue 42, check, check, apple, apple. See it, hut. So they make calls that quickly with what they're doing.
So is that what Peyton Manning was doing when he was yelling Omaha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a – Omaha didn't necessarily mean any specific play. It was a code for something else.
Yeah. You know?
Call off the play, run the other – I mean, I don't know, whatever it may be. But,
right.
But, I mean, that's the hard thing. In the NFL, like, they give you the playbook, and they're like, all right, we're full bore tomorrow. You know, you got to know it. So
is that a little intimidating?
Then you do have to be really good. Then you got to be really good in the NFL, man, because there's some cats up there that are scary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to block Aaron Donald. Holy moly. So, you know, those guys are really, really good.
That's a great answer there. Appreciate that. We got less than a minute to go. Logan?
Yeah, but Florida at LSU tomorrow.
Big game.
Night game in Baton Rouge. Just big quick, game. We got less than a minute here. What's your prediction there?
Let's go Tigers, baby.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm all aboard the Tiger train.
Absolutely.
So my son watched College Game Day. Rhett watched College Game Day last week. He's like, Daddy, if I don't get into Georgia, I'm going to LSU.
There you go.
I was like, why? Why is that, boy? Their lockers turn into beds. I was like, that's pretty sweet. I was like,
well,
yeah, it is. So
here's
I've got friends in Louisiana, man, and you know, if it's outside of them, I'm fine with LSU, and that place is gonna be rocking.
Yeah. Who are y'all? Y'all got a game tomorrow?
Sunday.
Sunday. Who are y'all playing?
Raiders.
The Raiders.
Right. Sneaky snake coming out.
Well, you know, hopefully we don't have to put it out there.
Russ, have a great weekend, man. Always great to see you, Russ Tanner from Prime Lending. You can find Russ online at AthensLender.com. All right, fourth and final hour coming up next. It's 8:57.